You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
That's right. Welcome in, everybody. You know what time it is. You're Locked On Broncos. It's time to drop some knowledge. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me, as always, is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, what's good? We've got some Elway quotes to go through here today.
Yeah, we do, and winter has finally made its way to D.C., so, you know, we finally had some snowfall earlier this week, so if you hear a little bit of atmospheric interference, that's all that is.
Yeah, we'll do our best. Out in the Rockies, it's nice and sunny, and it's warming up into the 60s, high 60s, in fact, so it'll come your way eventually, though, bro.
I mean, it's been here for most of the winter, unfortunately, so this has been, I think, our first, like, real snowfall here.
Oh, wow. Weather. You know, what are you going to do? We are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos. We check in with you 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. You can get that on the radio. You can get that on the blogs. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. And what really helps us out is when you share the episodes on Facebook and when you retweet them on Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second, flip open the phone. Follow at Locked On Broncos, and then go check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com. Lots of premium Broncos content. Again, it's more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there, the sick maniacs that just need more. Our premium members get 10% off on tickets and 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. And also, in honor of NFL free agency, you can get 2 free months with a monthly subscription for new members. Right now at MileHighHuddle.com using the code FA2017 at checkout. Plus, you want to make sure you're not missing what's going on over at Inside the Pylon, the work that Luke's doing with the Inside the Pylon draft guide. Forgive me, Luke, I forget the URL. Hit our listeners up with that real quick.
Yep, it is itpdraftguide.com.
So check that out. It's certainly a resource that you will find valuable, especially if you're a draft nerd and just overall a football geek. The home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, and if you're an Android user, Stitcher, because we're still kind of knee-deep in free agency. We have the draft coming up, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. And today's show is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Over 180,000 different titles for you to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And with your free trial, you can listen to a variety of titles, multiple bestsellers. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Again, that's audibletrial.com/LOBroncos for your free audiobook. All right. Now, on Monday, the Broncos introduced, of course, their two new defensive linemen, Domantas Peko and Zach Kerr, and they had some interesting things to say, and maybe we'll have time to get to them eventually. But after they spoke, John Elway took to the podium to kind of sound off on the first few days of free agency for the Broncos and how things shaped up. Denver, of course, added to the offensive line early, signing guard Ronald Leary and tackle Menelik Watson, and then followed that up with 3 defensive signings, which also included outside linebacker Kasim Edebali. Now, we touched on Edebali only briefly the other day, Luke. Before we jump into the meat of Elway's remarks, for our listeners, what are your thoughts on Edebali, and what can he bring to the Broncos in your mind?
I actually really like Edebali. I think he's a guy who can do a lot of things for a team. He definitely was a kind of designated pass rusher for the Saints. Didn't really see a whole lot of action for them outside of rushing the passer, which, quite frankly, he turned out to be pretty good at. He was undrafted out of Boston College. I saw his college tape. I liked his college tape. But as an undrafted free agent, he kind of just hit the pass rush rotation for the Saints and, of course, ended up playing a lot of special teams for them, which he was pretty good at as well. Now, he's kind of a high motor guy who you really kind of don't really expect to see getting on the field as a starter. He really makes his bones as a depth kind of player. But on the flip side, he does have 8 career sacks. It's not like he doesn't know what to do. So he's definitely a capable player. He's just maybe not, you know, a first level capable player.
Yeah, well, you know, with DeMarcus Ware hanging up his cleats, the Broncos need to cultivate some more depth at outside linebacker, and it's never going to hurt to have a guy who can pick up a few extra sacks each season. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. Now, getting back to the Elway presser, one of the first things he talked about at the podium was kind of the common denominator that all these recent free agent signings have and why Denver targeted these players specifically. Here's what he said really quick.
We're excited about it. I think that, it's been a focus for us, especially the offense and defensive line, and getting more physical on both sides of the ball. We feel like we've done that. It's been a good start.
Now, Luke, the Broncos won a Super Bowl a little bit more than a year ago by being the bully, by being the more physical team. And I think it's safe to say that they took a big step backward in that department in 2016.
Well, really, when you look at Denver's acquisitions the year after they lost the Super Bowl, when they brought in Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware, they were a team that had been completely out-physicaled by Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They got dominated physically by a much more aggressive team, and that really showed in Denver's offseason strategy of going out and bringing in guys who were going to be that kind of presence on defense. And so, you know, I think John Elway is very cognizant of what he wants his team to be, and that wasn't what they were last year. So he's going out and bringing in those guys this year.
Absolutely. And another thing we need to touch on here that Elway talked about has to do with left tackle. Okay. Menelik Watson, this is a guy who, you know, he has some experience playing left tackle. Primarily his experience is on the right side. And again, he comes to the Broncos with 4 years in the NFL, but only 17 career starts. As it stands, Denver's prospects at left tackle are pretty thin. And Elway addressed that as well. Here's what he said.
Well, it's still open. So we're still, and we're not done. So, I mean, Watson's played some left tackle, and we're going to take a peek at Stevenson there. And so we've got, we feel like we have some different options. And so, we're not done yet. So last time I heard, we don't go to camp until July. And so we don't have to have that just fixed just yet, but we'll figure out how to get that done.
So they're not done. We'll talk a little bit more about exactly what that means a little bit later. But Luke, King Dunlap was recently released by the Chargers. Big 6'9" monster suddenly has ties to Denver with Mike McCoy and Jeff Davidson. Troy Rank reported that the Broncos are considering kicking the tires on Dunlap. But would that be a mistake? What does Dunlap have left in the tank in your mind? Because he might be the best option left on the open market, Luke, without making any trades.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that he probably is the best option currently on the market, but I don't know that that's necessarily that much of a statement on him himself. He had a couple good years in San Diego to start his tenure there, but he's really fallen off the last couple of years. We know that San Diego's offensive line has struggled. We know that they've just been so poor. And so for San Diego to be letting a guy hit the street like this, who's been their starting left tackle for several years, it's kind of an indication of really how they see things. Money definitely plays a role too. But I think that the link to Denver makes sense, but I don't know necessarily that he would be a great player in Denver.
And he's another guy. I mean, we keep coming back to this. This is another common denominator. But he's another guy who's really struggled with health, especially lately. And, on the outside looking in, I would not be opposed to the Broncos bringing King Dunlap in. However, it would have to be a very team-friendly deal that was incentivized for him staying healthy and protecting the team in that way. Now, one thing cool that came out of Elway's time at the podium that I thought anyway, it was a moment of levity. He was asked the obligatory, Tony Romo questions, and his response was actually pretty funny, dispelling all the Twitter rumors that Luke and I, we thrive on that stuff. But here's what Elway had to say real quick.
Really?
Yes.
Among who? You?
Twitter. Yeah.
on Twitter.
Would you be trading? Would you consider trading for Tony?
Tony's under contract still. Last time I checked, he's still under contract. So, you know, like I said, nothing's changed since the combine. We're excited about the two guys that we have here and feel like we're in a good shot, good space there. So,
all right. So, Luke, Elway also went on to say after that particular clip that he remains open to everything, right? And that, you know, the Broncos still have a long way to go until they get to the 90 guys. A lot could happen between now and then, let's face it. And we can talk about Tony Romo, and honestly, the interest is there for the Broncos, but the longer Dallas goes without releasing Romo, perhaps the Broncos become less likely more and more to go after him. Because this week, you know, we heard a lot about how much the team likes their quarterback situation in Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. And perhaps the Broncos are coming to terms, Luke, with their situation as it is, and are maybe they're getting tired of playing the whole what-if game.
Well, that may be, but first of all, they can't really comment on Tony Romo because he is under contract. So that's absolutely true. And until he enters the equation, the only thing they can comment on is their own situation. Now, Dallas, in my mind, they're not wrong to be holding on to Tony Romo at the moment, because the closer this gets to the draft, teams start to kind of wonder about, you know, the availability of players, start to maybe make a couple phone calls. Maybe we are going to be, you know, willing enough to make those kinds of trades. And on draft weekend, that's when we see those kind of trades maybe start to develop a lot faster. I mean, you look at Denver over the last couple of years, they've stayed pretty quiet on draft weekend, but there have been these moments, these flashes where things just kind of happen out of nowhere. I mean, remember a couple of years ago when I think it was Joe Mays, all of a sudden there were these really strong rumors the Broncos were shopping Joe Mays on draft weekend, and everybody kind of goes, huh, like, you know, I thought he was pretty firmly on this roster.
Well, and so, didn't they deal Manny Ramirez on draft weekend?
Yeah, they sure did. So, you know, Denver's not been any stranger to that as well. I'd completely forgotten about Ramirez. So, you know, they do have that willingness to be able to move around a little bit on draft weekend. And especially for a team like Dallas, if they release Romo now versus releasing him later, it doesn't really change much for them except clear up cap space. Because if they release him with the post June 1st designation, it's going to cost the same money either way. So them holding on to him doesn't matter anything for them. It might just sweeten a trade deal for them and benefit them more in the longer run.
See, and I agree with that. And I, not to digress too much on this topic, but my thing is, well, then you shouldn't have told Tony Romo you were going to release him. You know, that's my only beef with the whole thing. I mean, they own his contract. They own his rights. It's their prerogative, and I understand that. But Tony Romo's got to be wondering, what the heck, man? He's already ripping, roaring to hit the road, and times they are a-changing and all that, and now the poor guy's still stuck in Dallas behind the, you know, the party train that is Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, again, the Broncos publicly remain optimistic about their quarterback situation as it is, and as Luke points out, 100% correct. Today, while Tony Romo remains under contract, that's the only situation they can comment on publicly. Now, specifically as it relates to the quarterbacks, here's what Elway had to say on Monday.
Yeah, because I think we feel good about where we are. And I think, you know, there's so many things, everything gets, and I will just tell you this, there's been a lot of things out there that aren't true as far as what's going on with our quarterbacks. And so, you know, that's what happens. Everything gets frothed up there. And you know, so we just continue to go down our, you know, our plan. And that's to continue to stay open. And when things come available, you know, we look at them at that point in time.
Now, Luke, we reported at Mile High Huddle that the Broncos had heard from the New York Jets about the possibility of a trade with Trevor Siemian. When this was back when the Romo getting released thing seemed imminent, a source told us that that was on the table, at least, that Elway listened to an offer for that. Now, I don't know if Elway's referring to that storyline specifically when he's talking about things not being true about the quarterbacks and froth and so forth, but if Romo comes to Denver, while we're on the topic, I don't see any room on the roster in a way that makes sense for Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, we've been saying it most of this offseason, which is that really if any other quarterback comes into this quarterback room, then I think Siemian is the one who gets shown the door. And really, even then, I think he might end up hitting the road either way, just because if Denver's really comfortable with their quarterback situation, they'll keep him there. But if they're wondered about, you know, if they're worried about any kind of controversy or fan controversy, then I think it's Simeon who's going to be the one to go, which is a shame because, as I've said, I think he's definitely a serviceable NFL backup. I just don't really see him getting really too involved in the battle to start in this kind of scenario for Denver.
Well, and plus he's still overcoming that rehabbing from his surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, on his left shoulder. So even though the Broncos have remained adamant that he's going to be available for OTAs, you know, how effective is he going to be? You know, that's going to set him back in whatever the, you know, complexion of this competition, how that shapes up. But the closer we get to that, you know, the more we'll know. And as it stands right now, again, Romo's in Dallas, Simeon's in Denver, but I've been of the opinion through this whole thing that it wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea to ship Simeon off, as Luke pointed out there, just to not only get out from under the whole quarterback controversy thing and how that pertains to the fans and the media and all that, and the din, but also just to give Paxton Lynch an open road to being the guy whom they invested a first-round pick into. And for tomorrow's show, we're going to talk a little bit more about Trevor Simeon and just how that all relates to the locker room and stuff like that. But that's my thinking on the process, but obviously doesn't necessarily reflect what the thinking is at Dove Valley. Now, another thing we heard, based on a source, that we were under the assumption that Zach Kerr popped up on Denver's radar due to his phenomenal Week 2 performance last year against the Broncos. Now, while that did play a role, and even Kerr mentioned it at the podium, Elway said that they've liked Kerr dating back to the pre-draft process of 2014. Here's what he said real quick.
Well, I mean, we really believe he's got a high ceiling, and he's a guy that was playing a two-gap, as he said, in Indy, and feel like he's a very talented guy, very young guy. We actually liked him a lot coming out of the draft and really tried to get him as a CFA when he came out. We couldn't get it done, but we've liked him since the draft 3 years ago, 4 years ago that he came out. So I think it was 3 years because he's restricted. So we've liked him for a long time, but feel like he really has a chance to fit what we do well, get upfield, and he can rush a passer, and he plays hard and chases the ball. So we're excited about him. We think he's got a lot of upside.
Now, Luke, Pro Football Focus, I reached out to him. They sent me some metrics on Kerr. And the Cliff Notes version are basically this. And again, our premium members at milehighhuddle.com, they can get the full report in the piece I published on Wednesday. But for the amount of run snaps that Kerr played in 2016, he held up surprisingly well. But I do agree with Elway that Kerr, you know, he's not a perfect player yet. He has a high ceiling, and I don't think he's anywhere close to it. And really, Luke, what intrigues me about this whole situation is seeing how he responds to the coaching and working personally with Bill Kolar.
Yeah, and NFL scouting departments, they tend to run very deep. So in all likelihood, they would have had maybe 2 to 3 scouting reports done on a player like Kerr. They have, you know, a massive compendium on notes of notes on him. You've got pre-draft notes. You've got, you know, 2015 notes, maybe 2016 right. notes. You know, they know what this guy is, and they can pull up and reference that going back years. That's how deep the front offices have to do their job. Yeah. So that when a guy like this, who you don't expect to hit the market, does hit the market, you can really reference what you have on him. And, you know, I think Kerr definitely is a guy who can stay on the field a pretty good size of your snaps. He can stop the run. I still am not entirely convinced on him as a pass rusher, but he's definitely a guy who can work with Bill Kolar and kind of hone his skills to really kind of become, you know, what his ceiling is, which I do think he has a pretty high ceiling.
Yeah, and you look at Kolar's track record specifically, and he's widely regarded as one of the best D-line coaches in the NFL. But, I mean, you look at what he got out of Antonio Smith in his prime in Houston, J.J. Watt coming to Denver. Really, we didn't see Derek Wolfe flower until he got here, until Kolar showed up. Malik Jackson, you know, the only wild card, or you could even call it the exception that proves the rule, is the whole Adam Gotsis foible, but that's still an open-ended ticket. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but yeah, it will be interesting to see how Kerr responds to that coaching, and I think it's really going to help him get closer to that ceiling. Now, another thing here, while Elway was holding court, and again, this was on Monday, Kayvon Webster had yet to sign with the Rams, but now, of course, he's gone, Sylvester Williams, Luke, left for Tennessee. I'm not sure off the top of my head that we've talked about that. And then, of course, DeMarcus Ware retired. Luke, are you losing any sleep over any of these three personnel losses at this time?
You know, these are all kind of depth signings that you hope that your depth can really, or, you know, depth losses that you hope that your depth is going to step up and take the place of those. When it comes to Sylvester Williams, I think Denver signed two guys who could be his replacement in Pecco and Kerr. Either one can play that nose tackle spot, even though it sounds like Kerr might end up more likely at end. DeMarcus Ware, obviously, I think Denver has the depth of pass rusher. Kayvon Webster is going to be interesting because I don't really think that they have the answer on the roster for a special teams contributions at the moment, because they had a great couple years there where they had their depth guys really stepping up and contributing on special teams. You know, David Bruton was that kind of depth defensive player, steps up, becomes a great special teams player. Omar Bolden is a depth defensive player, steps up, great special teams player. Kayvon Webster, depth guy, you know, you see the pattern here. They don't really have that now of the choices remaining on the roster. You know, Lorenzo Doss hasn't taken that next step yet. Tyrion Nixon hasn't really taken that step. So they're kind of stuck right now without a guy who they can turn to and say, all right, you're our next depth player who's going to be our special team player. Now, the flip side is you have two young safeties in Justin Simmons and Will Parks, but both of them saw the field an awful lot more than the Broncos have had in the past from those special teams aces. So it's going to be really interesting to see, do those guys continue to get a significant portion of on-field reps on defense, or does one of them or maybe both of them start to kind of get filtered towards special teams and really spend a lot of time concentrating on bringing their abilities to that side of the ball?
Good point. Well, and there is some silver lining to that as it relates to not just special teams, but the defensive side of the ball as well. Elway did say he was interested still in bringing back two other Bronco free agents on the defensive side of the ball. Here's what he said.
Dakota, we've talked to Dakota as well as Vance Walker, so we'll see if we can get something done with, you know, both. We have interest in both those players still.
Now, with Kayvon gone, I think the Broncos need to make a strong effort to get Dakota Watson back, especially as you were talking about there and his what his impact could be on special teams. And if Vance Walker is healthy, I think he should be a priority as well, because I think he can be gotten for, you know, team-friendly deal. And again, Luke, it is a concern because they are lacking depth still on the D-line, and then there's suddenly this leadership and production void on special teams. But one guy we haven't talked about that might be a solution, and maybe this is what they're thinking, is Cody Latimer, who has suddenly become very productive. I don't know about a leadership role, but he's suddenly become very productive as a gunner on special teams.
Yeah, and it's not exactly the role you'd like to see from a guy who was a second-round pick, but he definitely has had some value there in just, you know, gunning is one of the hardest positions to play on the football field, because really you've got maybe one, maybe two guys in front of you whose basic job is to just knock you out of the play. And you got to remember, you can block a gunner out of bounds on a punt return. That's entirely legal.
Right.
So you have got two guys whose basic job is just to disable and incapacitate you. You've got probably 40 yards to sprint downfield. And oh, by the way, don't let the ball touch you on the way down. It's an incredibly hard job to do. Most people just don't give it the credit it deserves, because it involves being able to release clean, use your hands to keep guys off your body while sprinting down the field, and, you know, make the tackle while kind of coming out of a sprint to a guy who's just accelerating the other direction. It takes a lot of mental processing to be able to do that. It's one of the hardest positions to coach, and I've been a special teams coordinator, so I've coached it. It's a really hard position to coach to get a guy to really kind of wrap his mind around all of that. And so it's great that Cody Latimer is developing into that kind of guy, because Denver needs that. You know, Kayvon Webster was a fantastic gunner for them for so many years. David Bruton was that, and then they moved into him to punt protector. So now with a guy, I think we saw Justin Simmons playing that punt protector role, the personal protector on the punts, they can stick Cody Latimer out there and say, yeah, you know, go be a gunner, get downfield and chase the ball.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, you know, special teams is just one of the, it's not sexy, you know, it's one of those things that gets overlooked oftentimes by fans, but those of us who love and respect and study the game can appreciate special teams for the third phase that it is, that contributes to wins and losses just as impactfully as offense or defense. But hey, that's going to do it for today. Follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Don't forget, you can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze and myself at Chad N. Jensen. We do love hearing from you. We'll try and get to the mailbag tomorrow. So hit us up. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL, both great shows. And don't forget to subscribe, y'all. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.